Foundations and boundaries. Therefore, my beloved brothers, and I added sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. I was studying Corinthians this week. I came to this, the last verse in chapter 15, and I knew that God was saying, you're going to speak on this week. Yes, I have more verses, but I really want to encourage us. So, Lord, I pray that we would put our hands to the work that you have called us to do. Let us be steadfast. That means and immovable. That means, Lord, when the enemy ramps up his attacks, we ain't curling up in a ball. We're going to stand strong. We're going to get the help we need. Lord, you tell us in Hebrews, do not forsake the gathering, for your plan is for believers to meet together, to not be isolated, to encourage one another, to cry with those who mourn, to rejoice with those who rejoice. You're telling us today, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, which means, God, I keep my eyes on you. I don't let all the world distractions, and they come all the time, take away from putting my hand to the plow that you have called me to plow with. Lord, let us be encouraged. Today is a day of encouragement, God. Not a day to shrink back. Not a day to lollygag and just put our feet up, but it's a day to cherish our relationship with you. Move powerfully in your name, amen. Tomorrow is the day, okay? The solar eclipse. I don't think you can buy a gallon of milk within 20 miles of New York State. Some people I've been reading about, man, they've been planning for this bad boy for over a year. You know, it's healthy to have plans, have it in place, sit back, focus on the future. You know, Dave Ramsey says, with finances, you have the nerd who overplans, or you have the free spirit that just, you know. The eclipse thing, I admit, I'm more of a free spirit. I talked to one guy this week who was working on the stage. He goes, I don't think I'd go from Oswego to Fulton for this thing. It really doesn't. Now, and some people, they're going to come from all over the world. I get it. 140 private planes are flying into Watertown because this is really cool. And it is. I'm not downplaying it. I'd rather focus on the guy who made the eclipse, if you get what I mean. You know, and I'm going to say something about planning. You know, we came back here in COVID, we meet this way, we realize the room is natural this way, but we want to make changes for the future. You know, we're buying a very expensive screen that's going to work in this room, because we know if we move, we can take it with us. So we're planning for the future. We need to plan for the future. About a year and a half ago, I did a lot of series on unity and change. And I got loving feedback. Okay, shut up about it, because we get it, because we're united and we have change. You all believe that. Change is coming. God ain't going to do what you think he's going to do. I get challenged by change. The older I get, the more set I get in my ways. But what I'm excited by is, okay, God, what is it that you want us to do? One thing you can be praying for, we have interviews, we're looking for a new principal at the school, first time in almost 45 years it hasn't been from our church. That's a change. There's other things going on. We're looking to make staff changes. I've been talking to somebody, it might take a long time. We're praying about it, see what's going to happen. To get this stage right, they got to do the foundation the right way. Now the city has to come in and inspect to make sure that we did it right. But as I read this verse, I look at, you know what, God? I need a good foundation. And it has to be Jesus Christ. Jesus is calling. We sing that. God is calling out to us. We need to be living and movable. We can't be shaken. Now, I'm not saying that when life hits hard, you don't get emotional, you don't freak out, you don't vent. Okay, I get it. But after the initial emotional response, we need to be unshakable. Jesus knows what's going on. My first point is carrying on in Christ. You know, I get that we get discouraged, but don't let it steal the peace that you have with God. You know, what I'm going to talk about in a minute, we need to keep our fellowship close. Like, you know, 1 Timothy, no, the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last time, some will turn away from the faith. Who's he talking to? He's talking to believers. We live in a world where there's churches where we like to get our ears tickled. We like to falsely accept grace means I can live whatever way I want to, any lifestyle I want to live, because, oh, gosh darn it, God loves me, and forsake what the Scriptures say. But God is calling to us, and Timothy says, now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly, in the last time, some will turn away from the faith. They will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. One of the things that I'm cautious about, like probably another month or so, Mike Bartholomew and I are going to do some teachings on the gifts of the Spirit. But one of the things that I'm cautious about is, it doesn't mean because we're a quote-unquote Spirit-filled Christian, I'm church, but my belief is every Christian is Spirit-filled, is that we take it to the extreme, because too often the church looks at the flash and dash, and they don't look at the Scriptures. There's deceit right and left. I went to teachings up in Canada 30 years ago. They were barking like animals, and they were laughing uncontrollably. And they told me, can't God do what's not in the Bible? Oh, yeah, God can do anything. But it ain't scriptural. And don't try to bring to me something the Bible doesn't talk about. Come on. But we got to be careful. We got to be unmovable, because when life hits hard, like I've had people say to me, why am I going through this? I've been praying. Yes, and God hears your prayers. He's going to give you the grace to get through it. He is not going to remove you from the situation, because we live in a broken world. I was talking to somebody today. I don't know what you think about Rush Limbaugh. I know the man loved the Lord, but I liked what he said about climate change. We are arrogant if we think human beings can destroy God's planet without it being his plan. The closer we get to the end of the age, creation is going to groan. So I'm looking to God. I'm keeping my eyes on him. I know, and I wish I could just take everybody's hardship away. I wish I could say one prayer and things would just work out, but I know that's not what happens. Look at the life of Paul. Look at some of the living conditions that he wrote. He was in the jail he was in when he wrote the book of Romans. His relationship with God lifted him above circumstance. He was immovable in his faith. I look at Corinthians and I say, you know, I read for the last, 20 years or so, a devotional called My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers. He does not pull punches. I was talking to a friend of mine years ago up north. He goes, I can only read that one year, then I got to put it aside because, he probably goes to, I'm not going to mention names, I'll get in trouble. He goes to less threatening ones. Sometimes God gives me a teaching. Hey, Lord, you got to give me grace. Because they ain't going to preach well. I'm going to step on toes. I was happy this week because God wants to encourage you. So you're going to like me. But then I say, hey, don't look at me. I'm just a messenger, you know what I mean? Warren Wiersbe talks about 1 Corinthians 58. I like what he said. This is Paul's hymn of praise as well as his closing remarks and the rebuke to the church of Corinth. Because they were letting this guy live in sin and they tolerated it and he ripped them and he let them have it. You know, he rebuked them for the situation, the sinful situation they tolerated. So verse 58 in Corinthians encourages us to be steadfast in our service, immovable in our suffering, and committed to God and minister to others. Where am I going with this? We need to stand strong, church. We need to stand strong. Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy, and carry heavy burdens, I'm going to give you rest. Maybe you're home listening to this. Maybe you're here and you're going through it. You know what? It's not time to sit back and take a vacation from Christ. Because the more that we take off from our relationship with Christ, the more that we keep our Bibles closed, the more we don't pray, then yes, you're going to be spiritually weakened and you're going to feel like God is distant and he never is. It's always us. I like what, you look at the book of Ecclesiastes, 38 times, sorry, this thing's acting up, Solomon used the word vanity. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What he's saying is life is vain. He was a rich man, fell into sin. We know that God gave him wisdom above everybody else, but he still fell into sin because he chased the things of the world until he came to the end of it and said, man, this stinks. But Paul tells us there is victory with Jesus Christ. With man, there is vanity. There is failure. With Christ, there is victory. We have peace with God. The verse, come to me, all who are weary, heavy laden. I will give you rest. Let's do an experiment. Close your eyes. Okay, that's good enough. I was going to do it for a minute or two, but I decided I'm not going to be that patient this morning. How much do you do that during the day? How much do you sit back? Take a deep breath and say, man, God, I'm with you. I love doing it. Sometimes I come in here during the week, I sit right there, I just exist. I don't think too much. I'm good at that. I just let God move. But I'm busy. You should see my schedule. If that's your case, then please look at your schedule and start taking stuff out of it. God ain't impressed with busyness. God's impressed with submission. And I know we have busy seasons. But we live in a society and a culture that we idolize busyness. Sometimes I'll be in a meeting, people, I worked 72 hours this week, or I worked 100 million hours. And I want to say, I just squat this week. But can I tell you what happens to me? I have friends of mine, I love them to death, but they're good at telling stories, and I walk away and realize, wow, they looked good in every one of those stories. Well, then I start telling them stories, and guess who looks good? So then I repent. I say, God, that's pride. I have to be comfortable being invisible. Jesus offers us a deep, uninterrupted peace. In 1912, John D. Rockefeller, at 900 million dollars. He made over $1 million a week. 100 years ago. 100 years ago. I was listening to a teaching this week, and the pastor was saying how he was in his 50s and he got really sick and he thought he was going to die. All his fans. Somebody talked to him and said, brother, you got to start giving to God. He gave away hundreds of millions of dollars. You live to be 90-something years old. We need to be steadfast, committed to God. What are you building to? I got a decent retirement. I mean, as long as I work until I'm 98, my retirement, I'm kidding, I am kidding. But what if God, I'm serious, what if God tells me to empty my account and give it away? What if he tells you to empty your account and give it away? The lady with the two coins gave all that she had. I want that woman's faith. I don't think I have it yet, but I want it. I want to totally lay my life down for God. Pastor Greg Laurie, I read his devotional as well, and he talked about, you know, Romans 12, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you know the perfect will of God. And I like what he said, and this is one of the times you're not going to be encouraged, maybe, if you don't do what God tells you to do by be transformed, you're not going to know the will of God. You're not going to have a peace. If you're not in the Word, if you're not saying, God, here am I, create in me a clean heart, renew a steadfast spirit within me, like David wrote, if I don't give myself over to that, my relationship with God will not be what it's supposed to be, and it's my fault, not his. If you don't have peace with God, maybe you're under a demonic attack. But maybe it's because you own too much of your life. God has blessed me with my wife. There are sometimes God has told me to do what I would say some of the kookiest things that really doesn't make sense. Sometimes it's with my life, sometimes it's with my family, sometimes it's with my finances, and I tell her, she goes, okay, this is God, she prays, well, let's do it. See, I want that. We're here to let people know about the good news of Jesus Christ. We're here to serve him wholeheartedly. We're here to persevere and live by faith. The vanity Solomon wrote about is found when we look to live life our way and with our purposes. Now, you know what, New Covenant Community Church? We are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. We are going to grow. God is calling us to grow. God is calling us to increase our faith. God is saying, you might be changing the building. I'm changing you. He is changing the purpose of this church. He is not the purpose. Let me say it this way. He is changing what's going to happen here. And we have to be open to that. I'm excited. God is encouraging you today because he sees some of you. He sees the situation you're in. He sees your faith slowly ebbing away because you're getting beat up. You're getting beat up. You're getting beat up. You're getting beat up. And he's saying, come to me because my arms are open wide. We just sang it a while ago. God is saying, I want to give you peace. I want to give you peace in the midst of the storm. I was reading again about Jesus asleep in a boat, and I saw this really cool picture somebody painted of it. And I hate the water. And this picture made me very uncomfortable. But Jesus is asleep. When your world is rocked, Jesus Christ is asleep when my world is rocked. You know, we have hope for the future. I know we got to look at statistics, but I try not to. Because I know most people get saved under the age of, what, 28? My dad was 70 on his deathbed. Accepted the Lord 36 hours before he died. I've told you this story. I was in a class, Bible school, and it was an outreach class, and I had a track. I'm not a track fan, but I had to do my homework, right? And I had to share it with somebody, and I had one left, so I shared it with my mom, who I'd been debating for 15 years. I do it as a homework assignment, and she accepts Jesus Christ. So guess what? It ain't up to you and your words. I didn't even have a good motivation, but God used it. So, you know, you read these statistics. Young people are walking away from God, yada, yada, yada. Guess what? There's a mini revival going on in America in colleges. They're finding that people, lo and behold, are getting sick of the woke agenda. It's wearing on people. It's not right. It's not God. And the reports are saying that more and more young people are inviting people to church. I remember I had a friend up north, man, this is like 25 years ago. He had been a cocaine addict. He was spending $2,000 to $4,000 a week on cocaine. Then with a family friend, he goes to church, and lo and behold, he accepts the Lord. Now, he doesn't know anything, except I once, man, I was addicted. Now, so he's telling all his biker friends and stuff, hey, I do not know what's happening here, but something is. Why don't you come to church with me? And some of them start getting saved. We got to start reaching out. We got to start telling people the good news. Today's message is a foundational encouragement message. We got to stand strong. We got to stay strong. Who then will condemn us? There's no condemnation in Jesus Christ. Oh, he might convict me when I'm sinning, and he does. But that's not condemnation. When you got a young little person and maybe you have to correct them for their good, it's because you want to lift them up and help them. That's what conviction is. Conviction is God comes to me and goes, Beaumont, you're starting to live your way a little bit. Let's bring it back. And I kick and scream like a little kid because I want ice cream for breakfast. Condemnation is when the devil comes in. He says, you call yourself a Christian? Christians don't do that. You'd be amazed how many Christians I talked to have been saved for years. And they doubt their salvation because of the stinking enemy's lies. It's a demonic attack. That's why we need to persevere. Who will then condemn us? No one. For Jesus died for Christ. Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. Check this out. He's sitting in a place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. He told Peter, I'm gonna be for you. I'm gonna plead for you. Peter's full of himself. I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to go to jail for you, God. They can kill me. I'm your man. Then he got put through the fire and he ran like a chicken. You know, Christ told him, I know you're going to do it and I'm pleading for you. He knows you're going to have demonic attacks. Guess what? We're moving forward. Do you think it's going to be peaceful? I want it to be. But the devil doesn't want us to proclaim Christ. That's why he gives us lies. Like, well, you know, nobody's going to listen to you. I was listening to Chip Ingram this week on the radio, and he was saying how, you know, years ago when he was in college, there was somebody that it was on, I think, I can't remember what kind of sports team together. The guy was full of himself, and, you know, Chip Ingram's a young Christian. He doesn't want to hear this. And he said, his girlfriend lived near me, and he'd spend the weekend. So one day I just see him. He goes, oh, my back's killing me. He goes, why are your back killing you? Well, I'm sleeping on a couch in my girlfriend's house. Well, why are you doing that? Oh, I went to church with her, and I got saved. Then he found out Chip Ingram's a Christian. He goes, why didn't you tell me? He goes, because I was scared and I figured, you know, somebody with your status, you wouldn't be open to the gospel. Don't we listen to those lies? Aren't you glad somebody didn't listen to that lie when they gave you the gospel? We ain't condemned. I'm not condemning you today. I'm trying to maybe have some conviction, but to let you know, God is with us. John 14:27, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. Need me some peace. And the peace I give is the gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. I like sports. Don't like the fact that half of Syracuse's basketball team is transferring out. It can steal my peace. God's telling us it's okay, people. And I'm not making light of what you're going through. I know it's going to be okay for you. I know it's going to be okay for you. Because God is telling you he's with you. He says, don't be troubled or afraid. God gives us peace the world can't give us. You can't find it in another sexual relationship. You can't find it in another bottle. You can't find it in more drugs. You can't find it with more money. My gosh, Rockefeller, I think it's kind of like us making 25 million bucks a week. That would be cool. Give me 2 days, then I'm retired. Till he committed to Christ. Then he had the peace. So God is saying as we close, therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Lord, close your eyes with me as we close. The older I get, Lord, I get the stark reminder of how little I know and how much I need you. Lord, there are times that life gets so hard. I admit to you, I just want to throw in the towel, to sit back and exist and wait for life to end. That's not you, Lord. I know the devil wants us to quit, wants us to go on vacation forever. But Lord, you're calling us to serve you. You're calling us to trust you, Lord. Father, I talked about, would we be willing to give away our finances if so called to do so? How about we also look at our schedules and say, God, what is it you want me to do for you? And I can almost guarantee when God places his hand on something, you ain't gonna wanna do it. Oh, we have a lot of excuses why. I don't know enough, God. I'm not mature enough. I'm too busy. That's where faith comes in, Lord. You equip us, Father. You really don't want us to rely on our own strength or talents. You want us to fully rely on you. That's why you say in Corinthians, you choose the foolish things of the world. Look at me, Lord. I'm not belittling myself, Lord. I just know that I got nothing without you. So I pray for your peace today. I pray for those who are going through a hard time, that you would touch them, that you would encourage them. I pray that we would not neglect meeting together, Lord, that we would not neglect reading your word. We would not neglect times of prayer. That we would sit back, even if it's for a moment, and allow you to touch our lives, Father. Let us be immovable. Let us be steadfast. Always keeping our eyes on you, Lord Jesus, the answer to it all. Pray a blessing on these incredible people, Father, in your name.